So today we are joined by the esteemed Benjamin Mayo from 9to5 Mac Happy Hour and just, of course, 9to5mac.com. How are you, Mayo?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on. We do this, a few times a year, usually. And so we're going to talk some WWDC things. And first off, though, we want to discuss a new kind of bizarre study from Apple and economists at the Analysis Group that they did some research and found that the App Store quote-unquote ecosystem generated $1.1 trillion in total billings and sales during 2022. But the key here is that that's not just things purchased through the App Store and through Apple's own in-app purchase system, but it includes basically anything or any money that you ever spend using your iPhone.
Using your phone.
Yeah. So that's things like grocery orders, Uber rides, buying a plane ticket, basically anything.
So did they have a point? Like, what was the context for that?
I think the context is just that the App Store, all of this is made, most of it is made possible because of the App Store.
Right.
And if
so
you buy...
They're trying to do like a number that includes all the stuff you buy in terms of retail or like Uber,
right,
for instance, which use the app, which, you know, you use through an application that is on Apple's platform in their view. Even though they don't necessarily see it run through their books as a net purchase, they're trying to take some sort of credit for it at some level, right?
And the key statistic too that Apple itself kept citing in its press release was that 90% of all of that revenue went directly to the developers, companies themselves, rather than to Apple. So I guess they're trying to counteract the narrative that Apple takes a gigantic cut of everything that happens through the iPhone and through the App Store.
So if you include stuff that Apple doesn't take a cut of,
yeah,
then it turns out the overall fraction is less. It's like,
exactly.
It's a bit of a, hand meets mouth kind of situation.
Yeah. And it counteracts, like, Apple's excuse for the in-app purchase system has always been, we handle billing, we handle refunds and all of the sort of customer management things. But also, if you handle that yourself, you'll make $1 trillion, like, and that's because of the App Store, which is not really the case at all.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that trillion would have been bought through the web if the App Store didn't exist, for instance, right?
Like, in the case of something like, so I asked Apple specifically about like Netflix, which doesn't use the in-app purchase system. It kicks people out to Netflix.com. And basically what they're doing to calculate how much money Apple generates for Netflix is they looked at the entire video streaming industry, which they said is more than $30 billion, and then broke it down by the proportion of that viewing that's done on an Apple device, which I guess that math makes a little bit of sense. But again, it seems just disingenuous to attribute that just to the App Store ecosystem.
It just seems like a pretty pointless overall number, you know? Like, you could make an equally huge number for the Mac, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've never done that before because it's a stupid thing to calculate. But because they're under the ire of, anti-competitive investigation, they keep coming up with these studies that if you like look into the details of them, they don't really hold together, but I guess the headline numbers are enough to dissuade some lawmakers into believing their point of view, right? Like, I have a lot of sympathy in many cases for Apple's arguments. Not entirely, right? Not wholesale, but my position doesn't come from all these stupid studies they keep financing, right? I guess it's like, I just kind of ignore that stuff.
Yeah, the one key word you use there is that they're financing, because these are done by the Analysis Group, which is like an economist firm type place. But Apple pays for the studies, so that, I mean, I think the Analysis Group is like, they probably wouldn't do anything kind of under the radar just for the sake of their reputation. But
like, Apple's paying for studies, and then the ones that don't gel with their point of view just don't get published, right? Like, obviously the groups that make the studies aren't going to, lie, because that would ruin their own reputation. But they're not making these studies of their own accord. They're making them because Apple wanted them to. And therefore, that also means Apple have inevitably funded studies that don't show whatever statistics they want to show, and so they don't get released.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. The headline number that they wanted emphasized is $1.1 trillion, and then 90% goes directly to developers and companies. But I think, like we both said, once you look a little deeper, it's not exactly that. Those are very rose-colored glasses numbers. But we are sponsored this week by Roborock. Roborock makes some of the best smart vacuum options on the market, and its latest Roborock S7 Max Ultra is your answer to a clean home. It has powerful features for things like no-go zones, hands-free cleaning, an excellent app designed for iPhone, and so much more. The Roborock S7 Max Ultra is available starting this month, and 9to5 Mac daily listeners can get $280 off by using the link in the show notes below. My thanks to Roborock and the new Roborock S7 Max Ultra for sponsoring 9to5 Mac daily. Roborock is your answer to a clean home. Anyway, let's move on to something more interesting. I think we want to talk about some late-breaking rumors from Bloomberg, from Mark Gurman. Last night, he was out with a report about several new Macs that are coming at WWDC on Monday. So prior to this, and as we've talked about a whole bunch on this show, is we were expecting the 15-inch MacBook Air, but we weren't really expecting anything else in terms of Mac hardware except maybe a preview of the Mac Pro. But what Gurman says here is that Apple has two new desktop Macs in testing, one with the M2 Max chip and one with the M2 Ultra. So this would be the first M2 Ultra chip that we've seen anywhere. And the idea is that these are probably updated versions of the Mac Studio, not the Mac Pro with Apple Silicon. So what do you think, Mayo, about what this means, both for the Mac Studio and then, like, where is the Mac Pro? What's happening?
Yeah, it's really interesting because before now, we've kind of been anticipating, based on previous Mark Gurman reporting, that the Mac Pro would run on an M2 Ultra chip, which would just be like the M1 Ultra next generation for the M2 platform. And the Mac Studio was therefore kind of irrelevant for this generation, so Apple wasn't going to bother doing it until maybe the M3 cycle. But the fact that these model identifiers associated with these M2 Max and M2 Ultra chips are different to the believed model identifier for the Mac Pro puts a whole big spanner in the works. So, like, Mark Gurman's report is based on the Max and Ultra chips being tested on model identifiers Mac 14.3 and Mac 14.4, and the Mac Pro is believed to be Mac 14.8. So It really puts a whole different spin on the narrative. Like, maybe what Gurman previously reported was correct at the time that you reported it, and then there was changes. So maybe Apple saw that, why are we going to do a Mac Pro that's only running on the M2 Ultra chip? Because that's not very exciting and not much different when we could just put that same chip inside a Mac Studio. And so maybe that's what they're now doing. And so next week we'll see a 15-inch MacBook Air as well as Mac Studio models with M2 Max and M2 Ultra. And the Mac Pro, whether it gets teased or not, will run on some other chip that we haven't heard of before, whether it's an M3 or maybe something else entirely. Obviously, it's been so long since the Mac Pro has been revved, and even so long since Apple teased the Mac Pro was going to be updated, because that happened in spring of last year before WWDC 22, and obviously nothing happened at that event. And now we're more than a year later, 500 days or so since John Turner said the Mac Pro was front of the day. I would be gobsmacked if they don't acknowledge the Mac Pro again, maybe with a teaser of some description, or maybe just him again saying the Mac Pro is still coming. But based on this latest Bloomberg report, it doesn't seem like the Mac Pro will be shipping with the M2 Ultra chip, or if it is shipping the M2 Ultra chip, there'll be another twist on the story that we haven't heard of yet. Because until now, Gurman's latest phrasing was that the Mac Pro, the Apple Silicon Mac Pro, would run an M2 Ultra chip and would basically look identical to the current Mac Pro but have less I/O. But if they've got separate Macs that are going to run an M2 Ultra chip, which is probably a Mac Studio revision, the Mac Pro needs even more reason to exist separately. So I can see them, like, maybe they've said, okay, we're just going to do a Mac Studio this year. Mac Pro, you know, it's a disappointment, but we'll bring it back around for the M3 generation when we can really do something out there and push the boat out with a, you know, an M3 Extreme or some really trophy specs to make it establish the high end price point that it has.
And even as recently as I think it was February, Gurman said that he didn't expect a new Mac Studio because of the similarities to the Mac Pro. So I think you're right that something has changed, probably in Apple's plans. And what Gurman said in February might have been true at that time, but in the subsequent 4 months, Apple redirected all of those M2 Ultra and M2 Max chips that they were going to put in a Mac Pro to the Mac Studio. And maybe that's because other features that they had planned to differentiate the Mac Pro just aren't ready or turned out not to be viable, whether that's expansion slots for things like GPUs or whether that was the M2 Extreme that they ended up scrapping. But it seems all of a sudden Apple went from the Mac Studio, at least according to Gurman, being some maybe even a one and done type product to now getting a revision just a year after the first version.
And something went wrong with the Mac Pro because
they
wouldn't have teased it openly last spring if it wasn't coming out soonish, and it hasn't come out soonish. So something went awry. And so you kind of have to throw the whole book out the window in terms of the rumor mill there. And assume that anything's possible. Because again, the Mac Pro is Apple's probably lowest volume Mac, right, by a mile.
Right.
And so they have a lot of flexibility in terms of production. That's why they managed to make it in the US when they basically make nothing else in the US. And so they have a lot of license to do whatever they want, right? Like, it's a small product line, a small manufacturing setup. I mean, I think with the 2019 Mac Pro, Apple originally announced that it was going to be produced in China, and there was a load of backlash, and somehow they magically switched it to being produced in the US within like a matter of months. So I think they clearly have a lot of flexibility there, and so they can really go with the whims of the moment. And someone high up in the executive team, maybe John Ternis himself, one day was like, you know, why are we doing this? It's stupid. Let's just ship a Mac Studio update, and we'll come back around and do the Mac Pro in an even bigger way in another time. And people that are anticipating and looking forward to it are going to be a bit disappointed, but eventually they'll be satisfied with what we eventually ship.
I think the fact that the Mac Pro is such a small segment of Apple's overall Mac sales is what makes that teaser from March of last year just so weird. Like, why did John Ternus feel the need to say that the Mac Pro was coming? Because now here we are a year later, and because of that comment, that's kind of why the fate of the Mac Pro is still dominating some of the conversation. I mean, WWDC is Monday, and here we are talking about the Mac Pro.
Yeah. He obviously said it to cut off speculation that the Mac Studio was a Mac Pro replacement, right?
But yeah,
Apple doesn't like say that stuff lightly. They clearly thought it was coming out sometime last year, and it didn't happen for whatever reason, and now we're in this mess of confusion.
So in terms of Mac hardware in general, you think that at WWDC it's just going to be the 15-inch MacBook Air with an M2 and then these updated Mac Studios?
I think they could still tease a Mac Pro, right? Because tease is different to release, right?
Yeah.
They could even give you a teaser, a Mac Pro that's not shipping until next year because it's so low volume. They don't have to worry about cannibalization. It's just something they can be a lot more playful with compared to like an iPhone, right? So
the only thing would be if they've learned their lesson a little bit with teasing it last year.
Maybe.
If they can change their plans that quickly, I mean, I don't know how much sense a teaser would make.
I think they have to address the teaser last year and either apologize for it or do something about it. So if they don't explicitly mention it in the keynote, maybe there's like a statement to the press afterwards just saying, yeah, we're still working on the Mac Pro. You know, the Mac Pro is still coming. Just chill out.
It could be something where, remember when the Mac was kind of, everybody thought it was dying, and they invited a few members of the press out to like talk to Phil Schiller himself about the fate of the Mac and Pro Mac hardware. I mean, do you think the lack of a Mac Pro is a big enough gap for them to do something similar and kind of commit to the fact that it's coming and that the Mac Studio is a great stopgap, but for those who want the Mac Pro and the expandability, I mean, is it that big of a deal for them to kind of publicly commit to it like they did with the iMac Pro and the 2019 Mac Pro back then?
No, but they did publicly commit to it already because of the quote saying they're doing it another day, right? Like, so
yeah.
If they hadn't said that, they could just carry on not mentioning it at all, right? But remember, the 2019 Mac Pro is the product of that very conversation you just mentioned, right, with Phil Schiller. So that's only one generation ago. And whatever you say, I don't believe that Apple was that short-sighted when they were building the 2019 Mac Pro to know that very soon they were going to have Apple Silicon coming. So they obviously had some plan for the Mac Pro in an Apple Silicon future. And clearly they thought it was still going to exist. And something, there was a spanner in the works last year or something that's made it a lot more turbulent. But clearly in spring of last year, they were ready to do a Mac Pro at some point soon, because that's why they mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't happened. So now everything's up in the air. They either have to ship a Mac Pro or at least announce a Mac Pro, which they can do many months in advance because it's a low-volume product. They don't have to worry about cannibalization. Or they have to just counter the statement they've already told people and say, look, sorry, we're wrong. We're not doing it anymore. And I hope it's the former.
Yeah. I wouldn't buy the Mac Pro, but I'm interested in seeing what it can do in the age of Apple Silicon. I mean, it could be just something as simple as some of the things that the Mac Pro was previously known for, like that expandability. It's harder, or it's not as plug and play as it used to be because of Apple Silicon. So, but whatever, if they end up releasing or whatever they pull off, I think will be cool to see, even if I don't plan on buying it.
Yeah, and the current state of affairs with the most recent Gurman report in mind makes me excited to see the Mac Pro again, because before yesterday, we were under the assumption that, it's just going to be an M2 Ultra chip inside basically the same enclosure that we already know. Now, there's at least the opportunity for it to be something more exciting, maybe push the boat a bit more and be a bit different. Because whatever this Mac 14.3, Mac 14.4 is, that's going to have an M2 Ultra in it. So there's no point in releasing a Mac Pro with an M2 Ultra that's exactly the same, right? There's got to be something different about it. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Or it's cancelled altogether.
Well, we will see, and maybe in just a few days, or we'll be talking about this in a few months. But anyway, I think that does it for today. But for the rest of the week, we will have Mayo on again. For tomorrow, we'll talk some Apple headset expectations before WWDC, and then we'll do a special Saturday episode talking about the rest of Apple's software platforms and what we want to see and what we think we'll see in iOS 17 and beyond. So if you want more Mayo, stay tuned for that. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Mastodon at BZAMan. You can obviously find all of my writing on 95Mac.com. And you can listen to me on the 95Mac Happy Hour podcast, where this week we also have you, Chance Miller. So people like this show, they can go and listen to that too.
All right. Thanks, Mayo.
Thank you.